a comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Each application shall be announced. The director will provide council with a copy of the minutes from the planning and zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning and zoning hearing. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present testimony supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their case, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. Any persons who are present and oppose the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition. After opposition statements are made, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand and state your name and home address before you make a statement. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Lank and it will be made part of the record. You're not required to read your written statement. If there's more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please do not do anything that distracts from these proceedings. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. The applicant or their representative will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. Mr. Lang?
Yes. First public hearing today is change of zone number 1678. It's the application of Byram Farm, LLC. It's an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, for land lying southwest of Route 20, also known as Zion Church Road, 450 feet south of Road 392, also known as Gum Road, and to be located on 2.45 acres more or less. Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on April 8 of 2010. We were provided with comments from the Department of Transportation, County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, Sussex Conservation District. Darrell Brager was present on behalf of his application for Byram Farm LLC and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to this application. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Smith stated that the applicant did not respond to questions about compliance with the comprehensive plan. Mr. Johnson stated he is concerned about rezoning when the area is predominantly residential with a few conditional uses. Mr. Ross stated that the intended use is a business that will serve the general area in the county. And Mr. Johnson spoke again and stated that he would prefer a conditional use application. I advised the commission that the property across Route 20 was not rezoned, but may be a location of a conditional use for boat storage, and that was to be verified. On April 8th, the commission deferred action for further consideration. On April 22nd of 2010, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend denial of change of zone 1678 for Byram Farm LLC based on the lack of a record made at the public hearing. The applicant failed to make a record that could justify an approval of this change of zone request. There was also no information about how the application complied with the county's land use plan or how it complied with the purposes and requirements of the CR1 commercial residential district. For these reasons, there's no basis for a recommendation for approval. There was a motion and second and carried unanimously to forward this application to County Council with a recommendation that the application be denied for the reasons stated, and that motion carried 5-0. We've received no additional comments from any agency or individual on this application since the public hearing. Okay. That's all I have, unless you have questions.
Okay. Any questions of Council? If not, Mr. Fuquay?
Good afternoon, Mr. Deaver, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown, and I represent the applicant, Byram Farms, LLC. I do have a handout here, which I'll give to Mr. Moore, just a copy of tax map and some other information I'll be referring to. The applicant is an LLC. It's owned by Diane and Carol Brazier, who are seated here behind me. Mr. and Mrs. Brazier own and operate Brazier's Pest Control, which is a longstanding and well-known Sussex County business. This is an application to rezone a parcel of land containing approximately 2.45 acres from AR1 to CR1 commercial residential. The land is located on the south side of Route 20, which is Zion Church Road. It's just south of County Road 392, which is Gum Road, and it's just a little bit south of the intersection of Zion Church Road and Roxana Road, which is that main intersection at Roxana. An unusual way to start a presentation, but it's something I need to do, is to basically deal with a very negative note, which you just heard, and that is that there was a negative recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Commission. And as Mr. Lank stated, Mr. Brazier appeared before the Planning and Zoning Commission on April 8th. He presented his request for this rezoning, and although there was no opposition, the Planning and Zoning Commission did recommend denial last Thursday evening. Now, I know that you place considerable reliance on the Planning Commission's recommendations, which you should. However, in this particular case, it's important to be aware of the reasons for that recommendation, and I'll just basically repeat what Mr. Lank just stated. The motion was based for the following reasons. The applicant failed to make a record that could justify an approval of the change of zone, and there was no information that was presented regarding compliance with the land use plan or the purposes of the CR1 zoning district. And for those reasons, there was no basis to recommend approval, so denial was recommended. So from a practical point of view, in effect, it was almost a default recommendation of denial because the commission felt there wasn't sufficient information presented in the record. I wasn't at that hearing. Mr. and Mrs. Brazier just contacted me on Friday, and I actually just met with them yesterday for the first time. In speaking with them, it was pretty apparent that Mr. Brazier has operated Brazier's Pest Control as a family business here in Sussex County for over 39 years. He is extremely knowledgeable about pest control and extermination. His business utilizes state-of-the-art technology. However, and no disrespect intended to Mr. Brazier, he is not very knowledgeable about land use law and the applicant's responsibility in presenting a zoning application. So please keep in mind the reasons for the commission's recommendation, and I hope today that this will be an opportunity for us to correct the deficiencies that the commission noted in that presentation that were the basis for that recommendation. As I mentioned, Brazier's Pest Control has been in existence in Sussex County for around 39 years. Its business office is currently located at Dickerson Road and Route 54. That was Mr. and Mrs. Brazier's house back in around 1970 when they started this business. And their house basically evolved into being the business office for the Brazier's Pest Control, and it continues to be that the business office. In summary, that office is no longer large enough. The business has grown considerably over the years, and basically they've run out of space at that location. What they hope to do is to relocate their business office to this 2.45 acre parcel of land that's before you today. They own this 2.45 acre parcel, which they purchased back in 2005. Before talking about the 2.45 acre parcel, however, I need to explain and discuss a little bit about the adjacent parcel, which is directly related to this application. And on that handout I just gave you, there's a little tax map there, and you'll see that that's really showing three parcels, parcel 9, parcel 10, and parcel 10.01. Parcel 9 is the piece that's before you today for the rezoning. Parcel 10 is an adjacent piece. It contains approximately 1 acre. And back in 2006, the county council approved that parcel as a conditional use to permit Brazier's Pest Control to use the site for the parking and storage of the business vehicles of the pest control business. Those vehicles are kept in a garage that's located on the property. There's a 114-foot by 25-foot garage. Employees come to the site. They remove their truck from that garage. They then basically park their car in the garage, and they take the truck and do their job. At the end of the day, they come back. They remove their car from the garage. They place the truck in the garage, and they leave. So for basically, except on rare occasion, all vehicles on that site are actually stored inside. And at night, all of the trucks are stored inside. The garage itself has video monitors to operate as security. There is a rental house that's located on the front of the property, which was an existing house that was there when they purchased it. From my inspection of the site, if you're familiar with it or if you've been down there, it's an extremely well-maintained site. It's a very attractive site. And a copy of the conditional use that I referred to is in the documents that I just submitted to you. You'll also note from that tax map that there's a 2-acre parcel located to the rear 10.01 that has a pipe stem access that comes out to Zion Church Road. The driveway basically goes back to the residence of Mr. and Mrs. Brazier's daughter, Tammy. That is her home. Both Tammy and the Brazier's son, Christopher, are involved in the operation of the business. They actually run the day-to-day operations of the business. So Brazier's Pest Control is really a family business. So basically what's being proposed, since the Brazier's basically own the adjacent property, which is the site of the vehicle storage garages, and their daughter Tammy owns the adjacent home, what they're proposing and the intent of this application is to basically relocate their business office to this site, which is adjacent to the vehicle storage. So it's not a speculative rezoning. There's a specific purpose in mind. The actual plans for the rezoned land would be to build additional vehicle storage buildings on the site for vehicles that are basically stored now down at the Route 54 site. And then a new office building would be built that would replace the existing office. There would also be storage buildings. There is a separate storage building for chemicals that would be kept on the site, which complies with all DNREC requirements. However, there actually are no hazardous materials, as that's defined by DENREC, stored or used in connection with the business. There also is no outside storage of materials. All materials would be stored inside. Now, as to the impact at this site, the site would be served by an on-site well and a wastewater system in compliance with DENREC regulations. The county engineer's office indicated the site is in the Roxana planning area, but the site is not capable of being annexed into a county-operated sewer district at this time. Sussex Conservation District indicated that no storm flood hazard areas are affected by the proposed use, and no off-site drainage improvements would be required. And DelDOT indicated that no traffic impact study was required and that the level of service of area roads would not be affected. DelDOT did estimate that the proposed use would generate approximately 159 trips per day and 22 trips during the peak hour. However, what is actually unique about this application is that those trips already exist. The relocation of the office to this site will really add very little additional traffic to the site other than the people coming to the business office who work there. As you know, with a extermination business, a pest control business, there's really not any walk-in traffic to speak of. Somebody may stop by to pick up a termite report or drop something off of that nature, but it's not like a retail business or something of that nature. So basically, that traffic impact already exists as part of the conditional use approval. So basically, in an application of this nature, as stated by the Planning and Zoning Commission, the applicant and the county have two ways to address it, two alternatives. One is a conditional use The other is a change of zone. And from a practical point of view, from a truly a realistic point of view, always and more so in the current economic climate, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to obtain financing for a commercial project without having the underlying commercial zoning. Lenders more so now are very hesitant and would view the lack of commercial zoning as too big a risk. So basically, the Braziers are seeking the CR1 zoning for the purpose of being able to finance this and to relocate the office. However, we certainly recognize that that in itself is not a reason for the CR to justify the CR change of zone. And in this case, we think the facts of the situation support this request. We believe that the requested zoning is appropriate and consistent with both the Sussex County Land Use Plan, with the purpose of the CR zoning district, and with the existing nature of the area. The site is located in the low-density area under the comp plan, and while the plan envisions the primary purpose of the low-density area to be agricultural and single-family residential, the plan also specifically recognizes that some business use would be appropriate. And those businesses are namely businesses that address the needs of the agricultural and residential uses that are in the area and provide services to those residents. And that is the type of business that the Braziers have. Their business is concentrated in Sussex County. That's their service area, and particularly in that area from the beach over toward the Laurel area is basically their kind of concentrated business location. Likewise, the zoning ordinance recognizes that the purpose of the CR1 commercial residential zone is to provide space in appropriate locations for various commercial and miscellaneous service activities. Those activities generally serve a wide area and are located where a mixture of business activity now exists, but not businesses that have extensive warehousing, frequent heavy truck activity, open storage of materials, or businesses that create nuisance such as dust, odor, or noise. And again, the Braziers business does not have those types of things that the CR1 would not support. Namely, there is not frequent heavy truck activity, extensive warehousing, open storage of materials, or nuisance factors. So again, we believe this request meets the purpose of the CR commercial residential zone. And then lastly, the proposed zoning is not out of character with the mixture of uses that already exist in the Roxana area. The second page of that handout that I gave you has basically a summary showing what's in that immediate area. You can see the site location, which is approximately in the middle of that page. Not shown on this map, but if you go north of where it says conditional use 1804, and that's just further north on Zion Church Road. There was a conditional use approved up there for a fitness center and playing fields in 2008. The last time I was down there, that facility, I believe, is under construction. If you come down to the intersection at Roxana, there is an existing storage facility that's located just on the south side, right on the corner of Roxana Road and Zion Church Road. You recently approved a conditional use for an office, an existing house to be used as an office, and subsequently that's going to be removed and additional storage facilities are going to be built there. Directly across the Roxana Road from there, on this map, I think the zoning districts are reversed. I think the B1 is actually closer to Roxana Road and the C1 is actually behind it, but that being what it is, in the front there's business uses, I believe, in the B1. There's the there's an antique store, there's an upholstery store, and an automotive store. Behind that, there's a piece of land. Again, on this one, it's shown B1, but I believe that's actually C1, and that's an old feed building. That's the last time I was down there, there was a for sale sign there. There wasn't any activity there, but that was for sale, that commercial parcel. As you come down Zion Church Road, on the other side of the road, you'll see conditional use 1690. That was a plumbing, Delmar Plumbing business, which is their offices there. Coming down the site, of course, you'll see this. Coming down the road, you'll see the site itself. The conditional use adjacent to the site is what I referred to. That's the vehicle storage conditional use for Brazier's Pest Control. Directly across the street where I kind of marked an X, I think that's the location, there is a boat storage facility, outside boat storage facility. Mr. Lenk stated it. Weren't certain what the approval for that was. Apparently it's a conditional use, but it is a outside boat storage facility. Going down the road, 1273 is actually the Roxana Fire Company. And then if you go further past the fire company, there's three or four or five properties that are zoned, I believe, C1 down there. I think one is actually the post office, and the other, I think, is a drywall business. So there's a mixture of business activities that already exist in this immediate area. So in summary, the application basically is about a Sussex County business that serves the residents of Sussex County. It's a family business. It's being operated by two generations of Braziers, and has been in operation for approximately 39 years. The company employs 39 people here in Sussex County. Most of them, if not all of them, live here in Sussex County. In fact, Braziers hired 5 new employees in 2010. And personally, I don't know of any businesses that hired anybody in 2010. So I think that's a pretty significant factor. Basically, with the storage facility located immediately adjacent to the site, the largest impact from the relocation of this business already exists adjacent to the site, and that's the storage and the keeping of the vehicles. And what we're asking you to do is to approve this request as appropriate and as a zoning application that's been earned by the Braziers from the operation of their business for the last 39 years. I do have some proposed findings, which I'll submit to Mr. Moore, and that would conclude our presentation, other than answering any questions you might have.
Have the Braziers been turned down for a loan based on the zoning, proposed zoning?
No, they haven't applied for the loan yet because they're not, there's obviously, they don't have the zoning.
Jim made reference to a conditional use across the road for a bookstore. That was conditional use 1005. Mm-hmm. It was for bookstore.
And if you have any specific questions about the business, of course, Mr. and Mrs. Brazier would be happy to answer those.
It doesn't appear there's any questions. Mr. Moore, would you like to continue the hearing?
Yes. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor of the application? Anyone else in favor? Is there anyone here in opposition to the application? Is there anyone in opposition? If not, it appears that there's no one else to speak, and the public hearing should therefore be closed, and it would be appropriate to close the record, I believe.
If there's no objection, consider it closed. Thank you. Mr. Moore, I believe if there's no further discussion from council, you can read the title.
Yes. It's an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 2.45 acres, more or less.
And the proposed findings will become part of the record, correct?
If someone would like to read those into the record, or I could
please,
read those
Mr. Moore,
into
go ahead.
The record. The proposed findings, as given by Mr. Fuqua, number one, the site is appropriate for a change of zone to CR1 commercial residential. It is located on the south side of Zion Church Road, south of the Roxana Road / Zion Church Road intersection. Two, there are numerous business uses existing in the area, including storage facilities, retail stores, a plumbing business, and a boat storage facility. The Roxana area is developing as a business area serving the surrounding communities. Three, the parcel adjacent to the site already is approved as a conditional use for the garage storage of the vehicles utilized in the applicant's pest control business. The rezoning will permit the relocation of the business offices and storage facilities to the site adjacent to the location of the vehicle storage site. 4, the vehicle storage site is well maintained and attractive in appearance. 5, the change of zone permits the relocation of a long existing Sussex County business to the site to provide a necessary service to area residents and is in accordance with the comprehensive plan. 6, the CR1 zoning is appropriate in that the use provides a necessary service to area residents, does not involve extensive warehousing, excessive heavy truck traffic, dust, odor, or noise pollution.
Help me understand why that was just read.
I had a request from the president, and I stated it was the findings that were given by Mr. Fuquay.
I was just curious, why didn't he read them, Mr. Fuquay?
He passed them in, and...
Is it considered testimony, or...?
No, it is not considered testimony.
But it becomes part of the record.
It becomes part of the record.
Sure.
That's normal.
Well, I don't agree with things that it says, so...
That, you have your opportunity to vote, and then you can
understand.
Vote now.
Any other discussion?
What part you don't agree with, Fred? Not none of my business.
None of your business.
Okay.
Thank you, George.
You're welcome.
Have you read the title, Mr. Moore?
Yes, I did. I read
Is
that
there a
first.
Motion?
Make a motion we adopt CU, or CZ, I'm sorry. CZ... 1678. There, I found the number.
Second, please.
Second.
I have a motion and second to approve CZ 1678. Any further discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver.
I can't vote for it because it's a rezoning to CR1, and that could include any number of other kinds of uses, so we really don't know what the use is going to be. If this were a conditional use, we would know exactly what the use was going to be. And that's what surrounds the particular property, is conditional uses are all around it. And I would hope that if this did not pass, that the applicants could come back in an expedited manner for a conditional use. That's my vote.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes. The site is... in an area of mixed uses, and as alluded to, the CUs usually start in an area that, you know, initially in an area that doesn't have much in the way of commercial activity, and it's a way to see an area transition into something else. So I think that with the number of CUs that have already been approved in this area, that the change of zone is not inappropriate at this time. So I'll vote yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes, the site obviously is expanding what they already do. They've been doing for a long time down there. It appears to be, I've been by a number of times, it seems to be a very well-kept, well-maintained facility. I'm going to do something I very rarely do, and that is... go against P&Z's recommendation, but I'm going to vote yes.
I vote yes as well, aside from the fact that it's an appropriate land use, the fact that we have a business in the area that has a great track record, that are part of the community, that are actually trying to expand their business in these tough economic times. Certainly government does not want to get in your way. Motion approved.
Thank you. The next applicant, Mr. Lank.
Yes. The next application is conditional use number 1820. The application of rheumatology consultants of Delaware Professional Association to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for professional offices to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 41,611 square feet, more or less, lying at the southeast corner of the Shady Road, being Road 276, and Plantations Road, being Road 275. Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on April 8th of 2010. For the benefit of council, passed down copies of the exhibit booklet, which was presented to the commission, and it is a part of the record. process of the public hearing, we received comments from the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, the Sussex Conservation District. Dr. Jose Pando was present on behalf of his application with Tim Willard, attorney with Fuqua Urey and Willard Professional Association, and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of the application. There were four parties present in opposition to the application and gave testimony, at which is part of the report. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Johnson stated that there's not much difference in this application to the original application reviewed in 2005. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1820 for rheumatology consultants of Delaware, PA, based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the site is within a developing area according to the comprehensive plan update. Two, this application is for professional offices, including doctor's offices. This location is appropriate for such a use, given the close proximity to BB Hospital and the BB Health Campus on Route 24. Three, this site is in close proximity to other commercial and business uses on Shady Road and is directly across from commercially zoned property on the other side of Shady Road. For the project, with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it, will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or community. Five, the use of the public or semi-public character and is desirable for the general convenience and welfare of the area and the county. Six, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. A, the offices shall be limited to professional medical care and other professional services. B, any security lights shall only be installed on buildings and shall be screened so that they do not shine on neighboring properties. C, the use shall comply with all DLDOT regulations and requirements. The entrance shall be from Shady Road as approved by DLDOT. D, the site shall be served as part of the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District, and all necessary upgrades to service the parcel shall be borne by the applicant. E, all parking shall be screened from view with landscaping from any neighboring residential properties. F, hours of operations shall be limited to 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. on Saturdays. G, signage shall be limited to one ground sign not to exceed 32 square feet per side with directional lighting. H, all trash containers shall be placed at the rear of the building and shall be screened from view. The location of the containers shall be shown on the final site plan. I, the site plan shall be designed to accommodate all necessary parking spaces, right-of-ways, setbacks, and landscaping. And J, the site plan shall be subject to the approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Mr. Burton, and carried unanimously to forward this application to Council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions and stipulations stated, and that motion carried 5-0. I did receive one other correspondence. It was in the form of an email. It was received on Monday, April 12th of 2010, addressed to myself. It was also for the Planning and Zoning Commission records, and it's a letter to the editor of the Cape Gazette. And it's entitled On the Verge of Gridlock. And states, was it attorney Timothy Willard? Splendid in his three-piece suit, or the expertly produced detailed book that dazzled the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission?
Are they talking about this gentleman here?
He doesn't have a three-piece suit, though.
Dazzle?
Whatever it was, resulted in a unanimous vote on 8 April to recommend approval of the application for conditional use zoning for Dr. Jose Pando of Lewis to build a professional office building on the corner of Shady Road and Plantation Road. The arguments by the four speakers against this rezoning did not figure into the commission's decision at all. Michael Johnson stated that a similar application had come before the commission in 2005, and in quotes, nothing much had changed since then. He proceeded to read a list of completely scripted, benign conditions to be met, and the entire commission agreed without any discussion whatsoever. Did they take into account the recently approved professional office building at the corner of Cedar Grove and Plantation Road? are the recently approved Arbors of Cottagedale with its 168 rental units, whose only access point will be right nearby, or the possible rerouting of Route 9 and 404 through the ever-expanding Henlopen Landing development? No. The blink of an eye, decision was made almost as if it was all worked out in advance. Why bother with a public hearing? It won't take long to discover that Shady Road is insufficient to its future traffic requirements. It will be backed up to Route 1 regularly. Even if a car does make it to Plantation Road, it won't be able to turn. There will be gridlock, but according to Michael B. Johnson, nothing much has changed since 2005. He needs to get out into the real world and bring the whole Planning and Zoning Commission with him, and it was signed by Mark Collard of Lewis. And it is a part of the record.
Anything else, Mr. Lang?
That's all I have.
Any questions of counsel? If not, Mr. Willard.
For the record, Tim Willard with Templarian Willard here in the circle. About my wardrobe, I was always told you couldn't put a pig in a party dress, or if you did, he was still a pig. But I don't own a three-piece suit, I can tell you that much. We're here today to ask for your approval of the Planning Commission's recommendation for a conditional use for a doctor's office. The applicant is a Rheumatology Associates of Delaware. The principal is Dr. Pando. This is Jose Pando, right over my left shoulder. Not unlike maybe the bug business, pain business, and that's what a rheumatologist does. He treats, fortunately I haven't been done, but he treats people that have chronic arthritis and other pain-related injuries. But he's practiced in Lewis for over 14 years. He had a practice in Salisbury for a while, but he's just stayed in Lewis now. But business is fairly good, and so he needs a new site in this location he purchased several years ago. First of all, I'd just like to talk a little bit about the history of this property, reference a conditional use. You all have a booklet in front of you, and the first two tabs include the previous approval of a conditional use for this land. We actually represented the previous owner, a gentleman by the name of Paul Case, who asked for the conditional use at that time. Dr. Pando had it under contract, but he did not develop it after the conditional use was granted within the year. Whether that was for lack of knowledge or whether he was too busy with Salisbury and the two offices, whether he even would have done it. And he didn't ask for an extension, so it expired. But what you have in tab 1 and 2 shows what the Planning Commission's previous findings were for almost an identical application, and also County Council with Ordinance 1785. So in some respects, this is just a do-over of a similar application. I'm going to go through the booklet that I have for the record and point out some law and some facts that support the reason why this conditional use should be approved. If you look at tab 3, you'll see the existing land use, which is from your current comprehensive plan. And you can see the bottom left-hand corner of that red triangle is actually where, of that red portion, is actually where Shady Road and Plantation Road meet. And you can see that red blob is actually Lowe's, if you're familiar with the property. And they have a vacant field right across from Dr. Pando's property. So there is commercial along there, and there's commercial along the highway. And tab 4 is actually your tax map, which shows individual parcels and how they're zoned. Commercial goes all along from Route 1 and then goes along the opposite side of Shady Road. You're also well aware of the activity in that area, the conditional use that were approved, basically behind Dr. Pando's property towards Route 1. At tab 5, I show pictures of the surrounding, of actually the property itself. The property is approximately an acre, a little under an acre, 41,000 square feet. There are two buildings on it, residential buildings. They will be torn down if this is approved and final site plan is granted. And I'll talk a little bit more about it later, but Dr. Pando's idea, and I have a depiction of a vertical is to do an office structure that looks residential, like a home, to help it with the transitional area right next to this property. I think it's the pastor's home for the church. So it's this property, pastor's home, and I believe the church. And then down Shady Road, there are some manufactured homes on the right-hand side. But it's his intention to do not like a glass tower or anything, but to do more something that looks more like a Cape Cod or something like that to blend in with the area. But that's what the property looks like right now, and it's not an ideal location to raise a family. Pictures 3 and 4, all 3 shows where the current entrance to Shady Road is for the house. Picture 4 shows the activity next to the property right on Shady Road. I don't believe that's a conditional use, or I'm not sure if there's a business there, but there's trucks and trees. It might be some landscaping. Right directly across the street is Henlopen Landing, which is still currently under development. Dr. Pando actually pointed out to me today that some of his employees, 2 of them actually live in Henlopen Landing. So if this is approved, that would certainly be convenient for him and any of his patients that actually live there. Picture 6 shows what the looking up Plantation Road towards Lowe's and that property, his property, which shows the outbuilding and the house, as evidenced by some correspondence later on in this booklet. A good portion of that grassy area, at least 15 feet, and then 10 feet, will be dedicated pursuant to DLDOT. And we're actually thinking that if this is developed, it should improve that intersection. There'll be a 10-foot multimodal path and a 15-foot easement that would probably be grass. Picture 7 shows some of the homes, the manufactured homes on Shady Road. Picture 8 shows the townhomes that were approved, the conditional use. Right next to that, I think, there's an auto body shop. There's also a mini storage shop. And most people are aware of Grotto's Grand Slam. You can see right across the street is the commercial property of Lowe's with the landscaping unit and the water tower there. That's picture 9 and 10. The future land use plan shows us an environmentally sensitive developing district, as the Planning Commission indicated in their recommendation of approval that it's appropriate for a doctor's office in such an area. Your comp plan indicates that the future land use plan is probably the most influential part of this comprehensive plan, and the permitted uses call for retail and office uses. Tab 7 shows the state strategies area. It's in a level 2 area, which calls for some development where there's infrastructure available. Tab 8 actually shows you a survey of the lot, which is currently it's showing 2 lots, but there's only one. Well, both houses on it would be demolished, as I said. But you can see that it's just under 1 acre. Tab 9 is the actual site plan. I think 35 parking spaces are needed. There are 38 that are there. There's approximately 4,500 square feet of office space on the first floor, and 2,500 on the second floor. Obviously, this would be subject to final site plan and agency approval. The entrance would be on Shady Road. He would be required to get entrance permit. It might even be a situation where they require right in, right out. We're not sure. We've also indicated, and the site plan allows for the dedications that they would require along Plantation Road for improvements. Tab 10 shows just a visual of some. Actually, I think Dr. Pando saw this house in Florida somewhere, obviously south with the palm trees, but that's the concept of the kind of office he would like to see, more of a home type of a structure.
What page is that on?
It's a tab 10.
I thought you said, I heard you say cottage while ago, and I looked at it, I said, well, it can't be a cottage. Cape Cod to me.
No, it's not Cape Cod, but it's, you know, you can see that the idea is there's a second floor just in the middle area. John Lester of Design Ideas actually designed this, but and then the other side would be just one story. So it would be, you know, more of a house kind of structure with 2 wings on it. I don't need to hopefully spend too much time with this plus letter because it doesn't really make sense. You know, the plus is required. I was interested to read that they're going to maybe revamp the plus process. I'm not sure how that's going to play out, but we were involved in the plus process when this first came about, when I represented the previous applicant, and he actually applied for B1. And in some respects, the plus process worked. We went up, we had some give and take, and they said, we'd like to see a conditional use, we'd like to see some dedication. So we changed our plan to a conditional use before we came before you and Planning Commission and added the dedications and did a couple other things. And we got their approval, or their blessing anyway, and we got ultimately your approval. In this case, we sent the application up, as you see it today, to them, reminded them of the previous approval, and we got this letter saying there's no need to go through plus, although the letter doesn't really make sense because it sort of sounds like we're asking for rezoning, which we clearly weren't in our letter. So in any event, if they're okay with us rezoning this to CR1, I assume they're okay with conditional use for limited purpose of a medical office. You also have the DelDOT letter. They didn't ask for a TIS. They said that the level of service would not change for this. They indicate in the letters, if you've read them, that, you know, although, and I know you all are familiar with Plantation Road, especially of late, but they said that the improvements reference the dedication would far outweigh any benefit from trying to do a TIS on this based on what they've learned on the property. So. And finally, I have the proposed conditions, which are consistent with what the Planning Commission recommended. And I can tell you that Dr. Pando has no problem with those conditions, reference the landscaping, the sign, and everything in there, the hours of operation. In fact, those were some that he proposed. When we were here last time, there was, you heard of some opposition. You could see it in the minutes. And I actually spoke to Mr. Jackson, who lives around the corner. And it seemed to center on traffic. Obviously, Plantation Roads and Shady Road have some problems, especially on weekends, in the summer, on Saturdays. He currently doesn't have any weekend hours. We're including them just in case. His hours of operation would be during the day, during the week. We're not sure whether DelDOT's going to require right in, right out, or how they're going to handle it, but Dr. Pando is aware that he'll have to get that approval. You also have received the sewer letter saying capacity is available for the 6,000 square feet. He will be required to do any improvements down the road. There may be, the 6-inch may have to go to 8-inch, but it's not positive whether it's going to or not, but capacity is available. The water will be provided by Tidewater. So facilities are available. I think Dr. Pando has chosen this location, and as the Planning Commission indicated, you know, whether you like it or not, the reality is you have the BB Medical Center, you have BB Hospital, the residential development has evolved west of the highway, and an office like this that might see, you know, 20 to 50 patients a day, elderly patients, you know, the majority of them may live very well west of Route 1. So there is some convenience factors for the patients, I think, and it seems to me that your comprehensive plan calls for professional offices, you know, with a residential facade that might transition well and also serve a high order good, you know, like a pain doctor for an elderly community. So we think the application is appropriate, serves a semi-public need, will not adversely affect the neighboring property, and not unlike the bug business, he's got a business that seems to be doing fairly well, employs 12 people. He even wants to add maybe a small pool facility. Dr. Pando, I think, espouses sort of treatment like that rather than just throwing drugs at things. And that's really one goal he has, maybe put a small pool facility in there for therapeutic reasons. We've also asked that the application be granted for medical use and professional use to the extent the square footage is not all he needs right now. He might be able to use one wing to rent to an accountant or an engineer or something like that if another doctor doesn't want it. So that's why we've asked for the professional use. I don't have anything else. I'd like to call Dr. Pando up here for one moment. Dr. Pando, you've heard my representations to the council. Are they true and correct as far as you believe?
They are. As Mr. Willard mentioned to you, our intention is to to continue catering to the needs of the community with an office space that will be pleasing and accessible.
Not unlike Mr. Fuqua, I have proposed finding of facts that I'd like to submit to your attorney, if that's all right.
Do you have some consideration for the special environmental concerns? Well, I wasn't sure if in the conditions we have something. This isn't an environmentally sensitive district.
Yeah, I understand that. And because of the size of the lot, I don't believe a formal assessment was required.
Uh-huh.
If you put a condition in there that it should be assessed, or if there are certain things. I know because of the property behind there, was it Jackson Pitt, there were certain concerns. We certainly would have no objection to doing that review and seeing if there's any problem. As far as we can tell from the history of the property, it's been residential on the corner there for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have any reason to believe it, and because of the size of the property, even though it's in the environmentally sensitive, we didn't do a formal assessment. So.
I got a question for you, Mr. Willard. You highlighted the residential nature of the appearance of the building. You're hoping to do that. Is it okay to put as part of one of the conditions, if Mr. Moore could fit into one of our conditions, that the structure would have a residential appearance?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Although
you stated it. I'm just saying, there's no problem. It's not in any of the conditions, and it might alleviate some of the concerns in the neighborhood. And another one was your proposed conditions and the planning and zonings are a little different.
Oh, I'm sorry.
In your number number three and P&Z's number C, you actually stated that you would you agree with the right of ways that would be dedicated that DelDOT is requesting, because they said if no impact study. If you gave us some right of way,
yeah,
and it sounds to me like you've agreed to that. So anyway, I was wondering, is there any problem using the wording similar to yours in the county's conditional use or the planning and zoning's recommendations didn't include any reference to the recommendation of a right of way?
No,
you
sir.
Add that. Okay,
they may have thought it's illusory. That is, we're going to have to comply anyway, but we wanted to.
Well, it said, you know, it said regulations and requirements. Now, by statute, they can only go so far. A lot of things they do is negotiating. So I want to make sure there's no confusion there in case he doesn't use the property and somebody else comes in and whatever. So we can do that the recommendations of DelDOT's right-of-ways would also be. So I like your wording actually better. You see what in Mr. Willard's proposed, he just handed out, on the back page. Number three, Everett, if you compare number three with C, under number six, I think Mr. Willard did a better job than P&Z did. And the other thing, just so again, there's no misunderstanding that in D, the next one, which was about the engineering department, they basically said there's an allocation of our capacity of, six EDUs?
Yes, sir.
So you've got and P&Z's got in there that they all necessary upgrades and service to the parcel shall be borne by the client. And I'd like to see some wording that would just say and shall not exceed capacity allocations as per the Sussex County Engineering Department. So again, if another owner popped into the scene a couple years down the road for some reason, there'd be no confusion that there's certain planning or engineering department based their EDUs on their study.
I understand.
Right? And if I'm not mistaken with that, going back, they said six EDUs, which equated to about 6,000 square feet of office space?
Yeah, and they indicate that if more than six EDUs are required, downstream upgrades may be necessary.
Well, I was just going to put in there because I would just rather see that the capacity is... shall not exceed the capacity allocation. So if they can allocate more, you can build more. But
yeah, that would be fine. And if that were the case,
the sewer,
there may be a significant cost.
The sewer seems to be a touchy issue, and it seems that things are the engineering department's making recommendations, and sometimes buildings get too big, and somehow we don't cross check everything. So I was just going to put in there that you should not exceed whatever the capacity allocations are. Engineering department. Any problem? adding that kind of wording?
No.
Okay. That would be the only things I thought that needed to be plugged in, possibly, ever. And I don't know if anybody else has got any problems with it. You okay with that, Sam?
Well, you said he had a 6-inch pipe, didn't he?
I don't know.
Yeah, it is 6.
Digging it up.
Well, that carries about 800 pounds in. So that's a lot of sewer.
Well, I'm just pointing out what the engineering department said, based on our studies.
He'll have to have a pump in to get 800 gallons.
Yeah, and I think they indicate that if you go to 8, you can increase capacity, but it's a cost issue.
My goodness, he'll never...
Well, all due respect, Mr. Cole, we're not going to let engineering drive lane. Engineering has a job to provide capacity. It's up to you, Mr. Willard. If you don't have a problem with including it, that's fine. If you want to press the issue, we can see what the rest of the council...
Can I just have one thing?
I don't see how one house is going to be a big problem.
Yeah, obviously, with all due respect to Mr. Cole, if it doesn't have to be in there, we'd rather it not, to the extent if we can negotiate payments for improvements or do anything in that blocks that, that could be some concern down the road if it's not necessary. In other words, without jeopardizing what engineering has to do.
Right. Well, it may be the issue that we'll have to take up after we hear all the testimony, if Mr. Cole wants to make a motion to that effect. What else have you got?
Is there any other, do you have anything else to present?
No. Did I hand you those proposed facts for what they're worth? There you go.
It's in the
That's all we have. Yes,
it's already in. For the same ones that were in your...
Yeah.
The proposed conditions?
Yes. The same ones in the book?
Oh, yeah, but I had proposed facts, too.
Oh, okay.
Finding the facts, so.
Please.
They're really similar to planning conditions.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak on behalf of the applicant?
No, sir.
Okay. Anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to the application? Ma'am?
You got another one? Okay.
For the record, my name is Lynn Knoll, and I'm a resident of Hemlock and Landing and a member of their community association, although I am not speaking on their behalf. I strongly oppose conditional use 1820. I have a prepared statement. I'll give you copies after I speak. But I would like to address something that Mr. Willard said, that really nothing much has changed since they got the original approval 5 years ago. 5 years ago, there were not 241 homes built, and Henlopen and Landing was not there 5 years ago. We're also expanding with another 46 single-family homes right across the street from where you plan to build. He has also spoke that there are other commercial properties in the area. He's making it sound like Lowe's is right there and Grotto Pizza is right there. Grotto Pizza is up on Shady Lane on Route 1. Lowe's is up on Route 1. They're not right in front of us. They're not on Plantation Road or Shady Road, which at best, traveling, two cars can pass on Shady. It's a great cut through to Route 1. I will now read my prepared statement. The area of Henlopen Landing on Plantation Road is being heavily rezoned for commercial and multifamily use. The distance between the entrance to Henlopen Landing and Cedar Grove Road is 1.3 miles. Cedar Grove Road was just approved for another commercial building of business and medical offices just a mile away. This small area is being developed, overdeveloped, considering the size of Plantation Road, which is only a two-lane road. This runs parallel to Route 1 and is heavily traveled with summer tourists and residents trying to avoid Route 1 traffic. And I can't read with eyeglasses. A business and professional office complex was approved on 4.7 acres on the corner of Plantation and Cedar Grove Road. Arbors of Cottagedale was just approved 0.2 miles outside of our entrance. This is a 168-unit multifamily rental property that will have a major impact on the traffic, with possibly 200 cars daily using only one entrance and exit onto Plantation Road. This proposed building will be on the same piece of land that Eagle Point, which is residential, and now Arbors of Cottagedale. They're all clumped on this little piece of land. There are 46 single-family homes being built in the Phase 4 completion of Henlopen Landing. adding to the congestion of the two-lane Plantation Road with approximately another 90 autos driving in and out on a regular basis, besides the 241 homes already in place and their vehicles. We are also hearing from DelDOT the possibility of a park and ride being proposed off of the same area of the Phase 4 completion of homes. I have not been able to confirm, but I have been told that that land has already been sold. I have no confirmation from Mr. Lank. I oppose the rezoning of the parcel on Shady Lane and Plantations due to traffic congestion, as it is directly outside the Henlopen Landing entrance. This area is residential usage. Henlopen Landing, Plantations East, Plantations West, Sandy Bray, and Eagle Point are all residential communities, and rezoning will affect our future investment in our properties. We will be completely surrounded by commercial properties if this faulty rezoning process is not stopped in its tracks now. I also would like to say that in Money Magazine, in their newest issue, Lois was listed as one of the best places to retire, with low taxes and a medium home in medium home price of $300,000 and I believe $10,000. And shortly, my $500,000 will meet their medium price if you continue to build this commercial multifamily around Henlopen Landing. And in closing, I would ask each and every one of you to consider the changes you're asking the residents to make outside of their doors. Would you move here knowing what's going to happen to the value of your home? And I ask you that honestly. We're experience the possibility of a four-lane road next to Henlopen Landing on Beaver Dam. You can't widen Plantation Road. It's a two-lane road. In the summer, it's the pass-through that everybody takes because we can't get out onto Route 1. Now you want more commercial with this building. You have another medical business office going to be built just a mile away, and Mr. Willard states that it's in proximity to the BB Medical Center on 24. I believe that is overstated. We're not all that close to Route 24 and the BB Medical Center, which sits up quite a ways from this office. I strongly oppose approval. And he's also, that is also zoned residential now. There is a residence on the property that they want to take down. It is occupied, and they want to take down a residential home to put a commercial property in it. I strongly oppose this, and I hope you've heard what I said.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Yes, please. Yeah, I'll pass him down. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Edward Mucha. I live at 32885 Ocean Reach Drive, Henlopen Landing, Lewis, Delaware. I, too, am a member of the community association at Henlopen Landing. I do not speak for the association. I have an email that was sent to Vance Phillips on Sunday. I was hoping it was going to be read into the minutes here. So I'm going to read that now. And here's copies. On the surface, the construction of the 41,611 square foot professional office building sounds like a good use for this property. However, since it will require tearing down a single family structure, which was the original intent of this land, and replace it with a professional office, it starts sounding like a bad idea. It occurs to me there are already too many approved projects along Plantation Road. There are 46 single-family homes to be constructed in Henlopen Landing. There will be 168 apartments in the planned arbors of Cottagedale, along with the recent approval of the professional office complex on Plantation and Cedar Grove Road. The apartments and single-family homes will house a minimum of 500 more vehicles, automobiles, which will be result in at least 1,500 to 2,000 trips onto Plantation Road daily. when you add up the traffic that will be created by the already approved medical buildings, Plantation Road will become a nightmare of congestion. Do you really need more medical offices in residential area? The answer for the property owners already living along Plantation Road is no. You can only hope the county council members will finally take these problems under consideration and a vote against this and any other near-term building in this area. Enough is enough. Let's not forget about all the new homes and the shopping centers already approved nearby on Route 9 west of Plantation Road and the housing development approved for Robinsonville Road. There must be less congested area in Sussex County where these might be a need for professional offices. I'm going to finish with this CU 1820 should not be allowed to happen. That's all I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Could you spell your last name for me, please?
Mucha, M-U-C-H-A.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. And if I could reiterate, when you make your statement, if there's some things that have already been discussed, could you try to bring other things up instead of just repeating what's already been said?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Name is Linda Kangin, C-A-N-G-I-N, space, Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T. I'm a resident of Eel Point and have been for the past 3 years. I wasn't planning to speak today, but I went out of Eagle Point onto Shady Road and then turned left with not too much problem at 11 o'clock this morning to go shopping and avoid Route 1. I had to wait for approximately 10 minutes before I could turn into Old Post Lane. And so instead of doing that, I cut through Sandy Bray. I could hardly turn left onto Old Post Lane because there were 10 cars lined up there. And this is during the week, not during the season. I moved here from Annapolis, so I was very well aware of the difference between seasonal use and non-seasonal use. I'm here to oppose conditional use 1820. One thing that I wanted to bring up, the research that we did at Eagle Point, and here again, I do not speak for the community. We do not yet have a community association per se. We got the impression from DelDOT and the other research we did that they, although there may be 200 cars, they estimated for the Arbors of Cottagedale 400 trips a day during the weekday. The other thing is, I have no problems with rheumatology associates. I have family members who are in the medical profession. I understand that. I have opposition to anything being built more than already has been approved because I talked informally to somebody at DelDOT on Saturday at the Indian River Bridge community get-together. And he said, oh, it's terrible. I said, is DelDOT planning anything more on Plantation? He said, there's nowhere to plan. So, you know, I just think that you have to also, the argument that there that we need office space, especially close to BB has office space itself, and all I see in any place that I've looked is office available. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Mark Collard. I'm the author of the letter that Mr. Lank read, and certainly I didn't mean any disrespect to Mr. Willard, but the point I was trying to make in my letter is that the Planning and Zoning Commission did discuss that when someone gets up who's a professional in a suit with a book with tabs and maps, it just makes a much different impression on either the Planning and Zoning Commission or you as opposed to when private citizens get up here and try to speak from the heart on something that affects where they live. I'm not going to repeat what I said, but I did want to point out that the issue here is a cumulative effect. We're talking about one very small corner of Sussex County. It's all in Lewis. It's all on the same street. And we have professional office building on Cedar Grove Road and Plantation Road. We have Arbors of Cottagedale. We have the continuing construction at Henlopen Landing. And we have the possibility of that move from Route 9 and 404 through Henlopen Landing onto Salt Marsh Boulevard. And that would come out right there at Shady Road and Plantation Road. Together, all of these things is just too much in one place. And I think you just need to consider, in fact, since we don't have a professional planning staff, that the recommendation to go ahead and approve yet another construction site is probably not a very good idea. I urge you to consider very strongly that this is not a good idea. And rather than approve another developer's dream, just consider the residents who have to live there every day. Thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you.
To set your mind at ease, we've seen and heard him all before, so his suit and his demeanor doesn't really make much of a difference.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? There's one gentleman here, then, ma'am. You good? Sir? You?
Good afternoon. My name's Glendon Jackson. I live at 33372 Mackenzie Way, which is not very far from this proposed location. I'll try not to repeat anything that's already been said. However, everything in opposition to this so far that's been said, I agree with. I have a couple points here because most everything's been said I've already have down here, so I won't touch on those, but I will say I believe if I heard it correctly, Mr. Cole stated that the traffic impact study or whatever was waived because of giving the state a right-of-way or whatever.
They've proffered, they've dedicated the front to widen the road, so they've offered, I think, the state that, so the state said, because you're doing that, we won't require a traffic impact study. I believe I read that in one of the traffic reports in here. In the day. Okay. Something to that effect.
Well, personally, I disagree with the state. As this also has been said, I believe they were here 5 years ago, and it was approved at that time. For whatever reason, they did not act on it at that time. Personally, I feel if it wasn't that important then, it's not that important now. And a lot has happened in 5 years. I don't care what anybody says. I've lived in this location all my life, and I have seen the changes in the traffic growth. I do want to be put on record that I am not against growth as a whole. I do believe in responsible growth, and this location for this project, as far as I'm concerned, is definitely not a place for it. Again, I want to say that the gentleman that has been accused of wearing a three-piece suit stood up here and put some words in my mouth. Well, I'll speak for myself. He doesn't have to speak for me. As far as the Lowe's, and I assume that everybody on council pretty much knows the area pretty well, where we're talking about. Hopefully you do. the Lowe's store there. There's a lot of traffic. Of course, you know about that. But there's a lot of traffic and delivery traffic, truck traffic, track and trailer, and so forth that uses Plantation Road as well as Shady Road. There's a lot of traffic on Shady Road, and anymore, it's not just during the summer. Traffic on Shady Road, I have seen it numerous times back up all the way to Route 1 at Grotto's Pizza. nothing against Dr. Pando trying to put his office at that location. However, I cannot understand for the life of me, given the traffic conditions and the backup and so forth on Shady Road, and as well as Plantation Road, that he's going to put his, I believe it was stated earlier by Mr. Willard, his elderly patients in a situation with the traffic conditions that there are, and just to me is an accident waiting to happen. I don't think he thinks enough of his patients to, I hope he thinks enough of his patients not to put them there and through that. The infrastructure, a lot of infrastructure is not in place. The roadways are not up to par. Traffic signals, which I'm not crazy and fond of having traffic signals, but at the pace things are going and so forth, we just might need traffic signals. One at this location, one down at Plantations and Robinsonville Road, I believe it is, where the, not Robinsonville, where they just, where you just proved the other doctor's office. I can't think of the name of the road. Thank you.
Cedar Grove.
Cedar Grove. Thank you. Plantation Road is, has flooding problems, at least in two locations. On Plantation Road, every time we have big rain and so forth, we have flooding issues. Another concern. The I believe it was stated here that the if this is approved, it'd be one residence that will be demolished, moved, or what have you. Actually, it's two residents. It's a ranch house and then the house on the corner. And above all that, I mean, we're talking about, I believe it was stated also, less than an acre that we're talking here, that that we're going to put this office complex on, 30-some parking spots, the paving and so forth, with all the ground, all the runoff and so forth going on to the roads and what have you. Again, I am definitely against this location as far as this office complex. It, I believe it was stated also that it was not a good place for a residence. It's been a residence, two residents on this property for years and years and years. I think it's an excellent place for residents and someone to raise their family. So again, I thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak. And again, I hope you deny this application.
Thank you very much. And ma'am?
Good afternoon. My name is Shelley DeLauro, and I live in Sandy Bray. And I was interested in hearing that lady say something about cutting through Sandy Bray because she couldn't get onto Postal Road. We've had many, our community has had many meetings with the state police. Because of that, that's a major problem. And we have children who live in the area. And they don't just cut through, they cut through at high rates of speed. And we've had some really near terrible accidents. But this is my statement. Overdevelopment has already harmed our economy as the market is flooded with vacant houses, condos, offices, and stores. Incredibly, however, we are here again to witness County Council's vote, which could exacerbate dangerous conditions on an already overcrowded road and many intersections close by. When is it smart to allow more development than our roads can handle? When does anyone say, how intelligent is this? If forced to idle an air-polluting, time-wasting, gas-guzzling, stress-causing, ambulance-delaying, commerce-harming traffic conditions. The Planning and Zoning Commission and County Council have made it clear that they want to accommodate developers rather than regulate them for the public's welfare. The additional tax revenue realized by the county, if intense development is allowed, will cost us all dearly. Will you also discuss and consider the cost to the county that the diminished quality of life, like intolerable traffic congestion, air pollution, and water pollution, have on the county? Our public officials need to understand that overdevelopment created our economic problems and that the solution is not more of it. That's like saying gluttony will cure obesity. If our citizens don't require more good sense from our politicians than we seem to be getting, they're going to make matters immeasurably worse. If County Council truly cares about the public interest, you can start by saying no to CU 1820, the office complex at Shady Lane and Plantation Road. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Anyone else? Seeing none at this point, Mr. President, I believe the public hearing should be come to a close, and that it would be appropriate possibly to close the record.
If there's no objection from council, that'll be the case. Any discussion from council? Mr. Cole?
No, I didn't know if anybody would think it's appropriate maybe to defer to you get down and revisit the cumulative effect of some of the changes of zone and conditional uses that have been that have occurred along Plantation Road.
Okay, is that a motion to defer?
Second.
Yeah, if Mr. Lank could maybe get a show us a little map next week, Lawrence, showing everything up and down so we can get, I think that gentlemen's argument, a cumulative effect, maybe that's what we need to look at, and we didn't see that in any of the testimony here today, so I'd like to see some from our staff.
I have a motion and a second to defer. Any further discussion? Then we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Benson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lang, next hearing.
Next application is conditional use number 1812. The application of John F. Corcoran and others to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for multifamily dwelling structures and proposing four units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 3.98 acres more or less lying southwest of Lotus Lane, being a private road, 950 feet south of Route 24 and also east of Love Creek. Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application, also on April 8th of 2010. The applicants did provide an exhibit booklet. I only have three copies. I will pass that down to, so you can share, if you don't mind. We received comments from the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, the Sussex Conservation District.
Oops, sorry about that.
John Corcoran was present.
Got to share with Sam.
Thomas Kowaleski, William H. Ebert, being principals, and Jim Fuquay, attorney with Fuquay, Urey, and Willard Professional Association, and all gave testimony. Mr. Fuquay did submit a proposed findings of fact and condition of approval for consideration. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of public hearings, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1821 for John F. Corcoran et al. For four multifamily units based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the proposed conditional use with a density of approximately one unit per acre is consistent with neighboring properties. Adjacent and nearby uses include mobile home parks, large subdivisions, commercial uses, and other single family homes. Two, the property is within a development district according to the current comprehensive land use plan. Three, the property with four units will not have a significant impact upon traffic. Four, the site will be served by on-site water and septic. By this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, there shall be no more than four dwelling units located on the property designed as single family condominium units. B, all entrance, intersection, roadway, and multimodal improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant in accordance with DLDOT's determination. C, the project shall be served by on-site well approved by DENREC and in compliance with all applicable regulations. D, stormwater management and erosion and sediment control shall be constructed in accordance with applicable state and county requirements, and the project shall utilize best management practices to construct and maintain these features. E, the project shall be served by an on-site septic system approved by DENREC and in compliance with all applicable regulations. F, the applicant shall submit as part of the site plan review a landscape plan showing the proposed landscape design. G, construction site work grading and deliveries of construction materials, landscaping materials, and or fill on, off, or to the property shall only occur between the hours of 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. H, maintenance of all landscaping, lawn area, driveways, and recreational amenities shall be the responsibility of a condominium association, and best management practices shall be utilized to minimize any environmental impacts. I, any damage to the road caused by the redevelopment of this property shall be promptly repaired at the developer's expense. J, addressing shall be subject to review and approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Department. And K, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion and a second and carried unanimously to forward this application to the County Council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 5-0. And I believe that's all I have. I've received no additional comments from any individual or agency to date.
Okay, any questions of the Council? Mr. Fuquay.
Again, for the record, my name is Jim Fuquay, and I represent the applicant. The applicant, basically, are the four current property owners of the property. John Corcoran and Steve Inskip are with me today. They're seated here. The other two owners, Mr. Ebert and Mr. Kovaleski, had to work today, and they couldn't be here. This is a conditional use application to permit four single-family units on this property under a condominium form of ownership. The parcel contains 3.9 acres. It's located just off of Route 24 at Love Creek Bridge. It has frontage on Love Creek and approximately 327 feet of frontage on Lotus Lane, which is the access road to the property. Lotus Lane goes connects back out through internal roads to Route 24. The property has a depth of approximately 727 feet. The applicants purchased the property with the intention and the goal of having this application approved so that each owner could basically have a vacation home for their family's use on the property. The site currently has one existing residence with a shed and a garage. There's a driveway which runs along the length of the parcel to an existing dock on Love Creek, and also there's a man-made lagoon with a boat ramp, which from aerial photos appears to have been dug in the 1960s. So the existing home on the property is located right here. This drive runs along the side of the property down to a dock, and this is the man-made lagoon with the boat launching area. Approximately one-third of the parcel, or 1.16 acres, was delineated as Section 404 non-title wetlands, and the wetland area is located on the rear of the parcel, being the portion that is closest to Love Creek. The proposed plan of development would be to preserve and renovate the existing home, which would be unit number one, and then to construct three additional two-story cottage-style dwellings for a total of four units, and as I said, they would be held in a condominium form of ownership. As shown on the site plan there, which I think you have a copy of, there'd be a new entrance to the site from Lotus Lane that would be constructed, and the old driveway would be abandoned. The new driveway would be constructed to provide access to the four units. There would be a pathway that would connect the units to one another, as well as to the driveway to the dock. And there'd be planned amenities, which would have a path to connect the amenities. The amenities would be a small bathhouse, a swimming pool, and a gazebo area, which would be a gathering area for the residents. Buffers will remain between the non-tidal wetland areas and all of the proposed improvements. So there's an approximate 30-foot buffer at its closest point from any improvements that would be done on the property. Water would be provided by on-site private wells. Sewer would be an on-site septic system. The sewer site evaluation has been performed by Michael Stallings of DCG Environmental Services. The location of the disposal areas are shown in the left front corner of the property. That would be this area right up here. County Engineer's Office indicated that the site is in the Gosley Creek planning area. The system design assumption for this parcel is 4 units, and the county understands that an on-site system is proposed, and when the county sewer service is available for this site, that on-site system would have to be abandoned, and the site would have to connect to the county system. DelDOT did not require a traffic impact study. The DelDOT support facilities report indicates very minimum traffic impact, and in fact, at the peak hour, DelDOT indicates there would be 12 vehicle trips during that peak hour. The site is in the Cape Henlopen School District. Fire service is nearby on Route 24, which I believe is the joint Rehoboth Fire Department, Lewis Volunteer Fire Department facility. As you know from the prior hearings, the BB Hospital campus is nearby on Route 24, and of course retail stores are nearby, both in Peddler's Village as well as on Route 1. The land is zoned AR1. The proposed 4 units would result in a gross density of approximately 1 unit per acre. And actually, if you subtracted the wetlands from the site, it would still have a net density of about 1.4 units per acre, which certainly is fairly low density. Under the state strategies plan, the non-wetland area of this site is located in both level 3 and 4, although I would suggest that that's somewhat arbitrary. All of it should be in a level 4 or level 3 area, which is the predominant level surrounding the site. The site is in the environmentally sensitive development area under the comp plan. As you know, that is a designated growth area. And as I said before, it's also in a county sewer planning area. The proposed request is consistent with the nature of the area as it currently exists, which is a fairly dense development of residential uses. In the immediate general area, there are individual lots located along both sides of Route 24. On the north side or the other side of Route 24, near our site, are the residential developments of Hart's Landing and Briarwood Estates. And on the south side of Route 24, closer to our site, is Bookhammer Estates. There's several single-family lots located along Love Creek, and then immediately adjacent and across Lotus Lane from our property is the Love Creek Mobile Home Park. That's a leased lot mobile home park, which was created in the late 60s or early 70s. It has a relatively high density residential use of approximately 150 manufactured homes on leased lots. The site contains 35 acres, so that's an effective density of approximately 4.2 units per acre. As I said, our proposal is a density of 1 unit per acre, which is much less than the adjacent density at the mobile home park. The proposed renovations to the existing home and the construction of the 3 new cottage-type homes, we believe, would have no adverse impact on the values or uses of the nearby properties, and quite honestly would most likely have a positive impact on nearby property values. In summary, the application proposes 4 families utilizing a waterfront 4-acre parcel in what we feel is a responsible and imaginative design. The design provides for the use and enjoyment by the owners. It has no negative environmental or traffic impacts, and it has no negative impact on the uses or the values of the neighbors in the area. As Mr. Lank stated, on April 8th, the Planning and Zoning Commission, after having the hearing on this application, unanimously recommended approval of the application subject to 11 conditions. all of those conditions are appropriate and acceptable to my clients, and we request your approval for the reasons and subject to the conditions that were stated by the Planning and Zoning Commission, and we'll try to answer any questions you have.
Any questions?
Site evaluation? You don't have any? You've made one, or you don't? Hasn't been approved. You hadn't been approved for anything.
We don't have. It's been submitted to DENREC, but we don't have the approval back yet.
And what is the usual turnaround, Lawrence? On that?
It varies. Sometimes it's short term. Sometimes it takes a little while. They're close to Love Creek. They may be looking at it a little differently than they do in some cases.
Because I read in there that the soils are poorly drained and everything else. I mean.
The soil evaluation indicated, as I said, where the systems are shown on that plan, that they were complied with all regulations.
Well, in their description of it, it just basically said all soils examined are somewhat poorly to poorly drained. Aquic or something, Hampton or something, anyway, loamy sand. Do you have any idea how long it would take? This is environmentally sensitive. We shouldn't be encouraging as many septic systems. There's only going to be one, right?
Correct.
One unified
right.
system.
There's only going to be one. It's going to be a fairly green designed, higher tech design. One of the conditions, of course, is that the site would be served by an on-site sewer system approved by DENREC and in compliance with regulations. So
it has to be that.
If DENREC doesn't approve it, then it's not.
Right. How about wells? We have one well, or are you going to have
one well?
One well.
Again, as you know, with a condominium, it would basically be through the one association, so both those systems would be
And you're able to locate them the proper distances?
Yes. It is a 4-acre site. And there's
okay.
From there.
Right. But a lot of it is wet in the front. Right?
Yeah, yes. Well, down by Love Creek, it's.
Right. And, it is. Yeah. Is the well in the front or in the back?
I don't know where it's located, but that would be up to the engineering.
Or to property. Okay.
Any other questions? If not, Mr. Fuquay, do you have anything else?
No, that's everything we have to present.
Is there anyone here in opposition to this? Anyone here in opposition? Seeing none, at this point, we should close the public hearing, and it may be appropriate to close the public record, Mr. President.
If there's no objection, we will close both. What is the council's pleasure? We'll read the title. Okay, Mr. Miller.
Yes, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for multifamily dwelling structures, 4 units, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 3.98 acres, more or less. And it had the following conditions. There shall be no more than 4 dwelling units located on the property designed as single-family condominium units. B, all entrance, intersection, roadway, and multimodal improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant in accordance with DLDOT's determination. C, the project shall be served by an on-site well approved by DENREC and in compliance with all applicable regulations. D, stormwater management and erosion and sediment control shall be constructed in accordance with applicable state and county requirements, and the project shall utilize best management practices to construct and maintain these features. E, the project shall be served by an on-site sewer system approved by DENREC and in compliance with all applicable regulations. F, the applicant shall submit as part of the site plan review a landscape plan showing the proposed landscape design. G, construction, site work, grading, and deliveries of construction materials, landscaping materials, and or fill on, off, or onto the property shall only occur between the hours of 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. H, maintenance of all landscaping, lawn areas, driveways, and recreational amenities shall be responsibility of a condominium association, and best management practices shall be utilized to minimize any environmental impacts. I, any damage to the road caused by the redevelopment of this property shall be promptly repaired at the developer's expense. J, addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Department. K, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Okay. I will entertain a motion.
I move we adopt it.
Second, please.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve. Please. Conditional use 1812, application of John Corp. Tyran, DTAI. Any discussion?
I think, just as a correction, I think that information on the computer is wrong. I think it's 1821 is the actual number.
Mr. Moore, is that correct?
1821 is the number.
Thank you for your observation, Mr. Vincent.
Oh, okay.
If no further discussion, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
I vote yes with the conditions.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yeah, I'll vote yes with the conditions. They seem to be appropriate. The density is appropriate for the area.
Mr. Vincent?
Yeah, but the conditions and recommendation of planning and zoning commission, I vote yes.
It's an appropriate use. I will vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Next, hearing, Mr. Lang.
Hope you can afford it.
The next last application is conditional use number 1822, the application of Michael P. Mulligan to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for an auto repair shop to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 36,097 square feet, more or less, lying east of Road 381, 2,400 feet north of Route 54. This application was also reviewed on April 8th of 2010 by the commission. For the benefit of council, I passed down copies of the survey of the property. I will also pass down copies of photographs of the site and immediate area. Most of the pictures are labeled. They were provided by the applicant and are a part of the record. During the public hearing, we heard comments from the Sussex Conservation District, County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division.
Nice picture.
And DLDOT, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Mr. Mulligan was present, submitted his photographs, and gave testimony. There were two parties present in opposition to the application and expressed concerns about the transfer of the business to another operator, not the applicant, and how that operator may run the business in the future. They would have major objection to a motorcycle shop due to noise, that the use is not compatible to the area, which is predominantly residential. Noise concerns, stormwater runoff concerns, concerns about outside storage materials and vehicles, concerns about tow trucks coming and going to and from the site, concerned about the maintenance and appearance of an auto repair shop on the area and placing a commercial use in a residential area. On April 8th of 2010, the commission deferred action for further consideration. On April 22nd of 2010, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1822 for Michael P. Mulligan as an auto repair shop based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the proposed conditional use will have no significant impact upon traffic. Two, the site was previously used as a restaurant. Three, the site is within the Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District operated by Sussex County. Four, the applicant currently operates Mike's Auto Repair in the immediate vicinity and desires to relocate the business to this property. Five, there are other limited business and commercial uses in the vicinity of the property. There are also several residential uses with large garage or storage structures similar to in size to what the applicant has proposed. Six, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or community. Seven, the use will provide a service to this area of Sussex County to meet the expanding needs for auto repair services. Eight, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. A, there will not be any outside storage of junk vehicles, automobile parts, equipment, tires, or other materials used to repair cars. B, no vehicles for sale will be displayed on the premise. C, the only repair work allowed on the shop will be for automotive and light trucks. No motorcycles, commercial vehicles, boats, or RVs are permitted. D, the shop will only be operated between the hours of 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. E, there shall only be one lighted sign on the property advertising the business not to exceed 32 square feet in size on either side. F, any security lights shall only be installed on the buildings and shall be screened so that they do not shine on neighboring properties. G, all parking areas shall be shown on the final site plan. H, oil and other fluids associated with the business must be stored in approved containers and hauled away from the site by licensed handlers. I, any dumpsters on the site shall be screened from view of neighboring properties and roads. The location of any dumpster shall be shown on the final site plan. J, the site plan shall be subject to the approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions and stipulations stated. And that motion carried 5-0. I received no additional comments from any individual or agency to date since that public hearing.
Are there any questions from council? If not, the applicant, Mr. Mulliken?
Order.
We kind of guessed it was you.
Last man standing.
That's right. If you could go to the front, give us your full name and address, and then present your application, please.
Michael Patrick Mulliken, 36839 Old Mill Bridge Road, Selbyville, Delaware, 19975.
Okay. Can you tell us why this council should grant your application, what you're planning to do on the site? And
that's nothing that I haven't been doing a block away. I'm on the same street. I've been there since 91. I've been open here since the mid-80s. All my clientele are over 60, 60 to 95. They're all
you discriminate against younger people?
I take occasional restaurant kids that come in.
59-year-olds?
Majority of the people are, you know, in retirement. I don't know what to say except that everything that's in our neighborhood, I don't see why it wouldn't comply, especially the gentleman that had lives behind me, Jimmy Swan, that was here. I was just stopped by his wife before I left and said that she didn't care, that she was sorry, that they just put a couple stipulations on it. Mm-hmm. He has the same thing in my backyard since I was a little kid. Signet Construction, with big, gigantic dump trucks that slap at 6 o'clock in the morning. Ever since the 60s, I can remember. When I lived in Shady Park, that knocked me out of bed. I don't make any kind of noise like that. I don't make any kind of noise anywhere.
And Jimmy was upset with you?
I've known Jimmy since 69. I saved his life about 5 times, same with his brother, out in the water. And I was a spool rotten brat for my grandfather. I had a boat since I was a little kid. I've been here since the late 60s. We moved off of 9th Street. And my grandfather pushed me into doing this because all I ever did was fix anything. My grandfather was a director of the Department of Assessors for the federal government and the state of Maryland and the land tax judge. My mother worked for the state's attorney general. My dad was a cop. He was a guy that taught everybody how to defend themselves, Catholic boy. If you want somebody else to come on that property, I'm sure you're going to get somebody that's not brought up like I was.
Do you own this tract of land?
I purchased it 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
Just trying to establish the record so you do own the property.
I don't have loud cars that come in there. I don't put loud exhaust on. I don't drive up and down the street like an idiot.
Don't have a dynamometer?
I'm sorry?
Don't have a dynamometer?
No, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
I make your car run better. I don't put engines in. I might put a transmission in. But the majority of the time when you come in here, I plug my computer in, I go over and I'll sit down at another computer. I'm on the phone for a couple hours until your stuff comes. Brake jobs are probably the biggest thing that I probably do anymore because I've been doing it for 35 years. Probably one of the most trained people in auto repair on this peninsula. You could probably ask John Roberts that owns CarQuest and Roberts Auto Repair on 26, because that's what his employees told me. I'm sorry.
Excuse me, I'm just trying to help establish the record. Are you having to build any dwellings on the property? Are you using existing dwellings on the property?
Yeah, I submitted the plans.
I've submitted a copy of the drawing.
Okay, they are existing dwellings.
You can also adjust
dwellings.
That, anything you want. I could put the building behind the adjacent restaurant.
Old restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A new garage.
I've been using that building like a basement. We have a pool table in it, ping pong table. I haven't brought a whole bunch of people in to rent it. I was offered that by many Mexicans. Yeah, let us move in there. We'll fill it up. I don't have loud parties. If we have a party, it's for a birthday party. It's a couple hours, and that's it. Yeah, I grew up with the Swans. So I know Jimmy and his little brother very, very well. I don't know if you know the whole neighborhood or not. But I always admired Mr. Jim. 2 years ago, he came up to me and he said, told me the whole story about the restaurant and how he had to come and fight it. And he said, I wouldn't care what anybody put here as long as they went through the same ropes I had to do what I do. Then I went and I filed. Then when he saw the thing go up, he goes, Mike, I don't know if I'm going to let you have that there. I'm like, what a hypocrite. You have that in my backyard. You know? I've even worked there when I was a kid. I rebuilt his mom's transmission and put heads on her cars back in the 60s. I mean, early 70s.
Can't believe it.
But the fact is, I'm only a block away putting this building down the street. The house south of me in the 50s, they built yachts. Somewhere in the records, I've seen things that have a commercial written across it. And some are AR1. It's really confusing what's happened up here. But there's where I am, before where I am is your pump house. Planning and zoning, when every time they let somebody build a unit, they dig up my street. Jimmy Swan, who put in Swan Cove, sat in front of my building for 4 months in the summer. And nobody from planning and zoning came and asked me if I was impacted at all. There's hardly anybody left in that building because of it. Nobody even went to my landlord and offered him any money, and you guys collect almost $30,000 per home impact fee for every place that went in there. Harris Teeter went in. That was like the last straw. You think you get more business by all this? I heard the young lady up here before saying this growth kills business. Yeah, you come down my street and you sit there and expect me to finance these millionaires' projects, and then I lose a third of my business since 05. It just came back last year. 4 years I've put up with this stuff. I'm just asking to go behind my house and go to work, just like everybody else is in that neighborhood. If you want, I'll bring you 10,000 more pictures. I just went up and down our street. I didn't go around in circles. I was behind Mallard Lakes, where West Fenwick Island Marine is. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that. That was Raymond Allen's auto repair, given to them by Jerry Atkins. For every little farmer there was, every farmer under his AR1, right? Okay, every farmer has an agricultural building where they work on everything. Their home vehicles, yeah, their tractors, their cousins, their aunts and uncles. Yeah, if I can, I'll put up an AR1. Let me do what they do.
Planning and zoning planning and zoning recommended approval?
Mm-hmm. That's what
right.
I said.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I don't know that you need
I think you've talked about
Yeah, I did. I can keep going.
I didn't
want to bring any heavy hitters here. I could have.
When you start picking on farmers, see, that man's a farmer. You'll get you'll
I mean, help all the farmers. And they're poor and they never pay me.
Okay.
They're all riding around in Cadillacs.
Is that about all? Is that about all you got?
I know the guy behind me paid $8 million in taxes. I know everything about the guy behind me. You know, we were like this.
He pays, what, $8 million in taxes?
That's what he was telling me.
Wow. In this guy?
You know, I can't compete with that. I'm just a little old fat Irishman
I think
that came here to take care of his grandmother.
I think you've been up there too long now. You go talk like that.
What's that?
$8 million.
Well, maybe it was his inheritance tax that he had to pay a couple years ago.
Michael, we're going to see if anybody opposes your project.
That's a lot of time.
Anything else you got for us?
If you say I'm done.
What do you think of the health care?
I don't get enough of it.
Thank you, Michael. Mr. Moore, continue, please.
Yes. Is there anyone here in favor of the application? Seeing none. Is there anyone in opposition? And seeing none, at this time the record would be closed and would be the public hearing be closed and be appropriate to close the record. Yeah.
If there's no objection, it is closed. And the council has a preference. We'll read the title then.
Read it. I think the conditions are pretty thorough.
Yeah. Steph, I think we're going to make them later.
Yes, this is conditional use number 1822, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an auto repair shop to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 36,097 square feet, more or less, with the following conditions. A, there will not be any outside storage of junk vehicles, automobile parts, equipment, tires, or other materials used to repair cars. B, no vehicles for sale will be displayed on the premises. C, the only repair work allowed in the shop will be for automobile and light trucks. No motorcycles, commercial vehicles, boats, or RVs are permitted. D, the shop will only be operated between the hours of 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. E, there shall only be one lighted sign on the property advertising the business not to exceed 32 square feet in size on either side. F, any security lights shall only be installed on the buildings and shall be screened so that they do not shine on neighboring properties. G, all parking areas shall be shown on the final site plan. H, oil and other fluids associated with the business must be stored in approved containers and hauled away from the site by licensed handlers. I, any dumpsters on the site shall be screened from view of neighboring properties and roads. The location of any dumpster shall be shown on the final site plan. And J, the site plan shall be subject to approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Make a motion we adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Motion second.
With the conditions that I meant to say.
Motion second to adopt the ordinance. Any further discussion? Okay, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver on 1822.
I vote yes to approve with conditions, taking the advice of their Planning and Zoning Commission.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Site has had a long history of a commercial use, and so I'll vote yes with the conditions.
Mr. Benson?
With the conditions and the recommendation of our very astute Planning and Zoning Commission.
Astute.
Based on the record recommendation
that word, Michael?
Planning and
you like that word, don't you? I'm going to come
yes,
up with a new one.
You got it, buddy. Go sell something.
Call up Jimmy.
You have
the good news?
You get a copy of this. Mike, hey, Mike, you get a copy of this decision. The decision is going to tell you what the conditions were. Then you have to prepare to go to back to your surveyor, get him to correct the site plan to meet those conditions, and then bring it back with all the other agency approvals. And you can then get a permit once you're ready to get a permit.
Just bring it back up to the office over there.
Bring it back to our Planning and Zoning Office. Now, one thing you have to know, that the conditional use is valid for 3 years. If you're not substantially underway within 3 years, it will be void.
So
make sure you're underway within 3 years.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, sir. Oh, hey, where's that chiropractor at? That's what I want.
Chiropractor. I don't think he,